flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Pro football is down to a final four.
Two-pointer ties the game. Here's the snap. Jackson will run to his right. He looks, he throws. It is dropped! It is dropped! Andrews was open at the pylon and dropped it. His second drop of the game, and the Bills maintain a two-point lead.
This is a conference championship week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
It's the city of winners.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
That's my guy!
Started the show yelling about how Oregon won a national championship. Thank you, thank you. We're very pleased, very happy to be here today. It's great. Shout out to the Wolf Poll for voting us number one, and we will take that championship and hang that banner.
You don't say a lot of mean things to each other. Real loser energy you're going off of this Wolf Poll. Just saying.
We're hanging a banner, baby. You go win a national championship. We'll see who's laughing then, bitch.
We won our conference title this year.
So did we, man. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Is a corner being turned?
Very interesting stuff brewing here locally with
I
one
see
of
a
our
corner
players.
As a player, turned it.
That's a good poll question. Has he turned the corner?
Has a corner been turned? We'll talk about that. We haven't got to Eagles and Rams yet. We will get to that in a moment. The game of the weekend was unquestionably going in, and I would argue coming out, it was Ravens and it was Bills. It was the most exciting game in terms of anticipation, the quarterback battle, the ramifications, playing the Chiefs in the AFC title game, because we all knew Kansas City was going to beat Houston. So who's going to get their crack at the Chiefs? The game came down to a two-point conversion in which Mark Andrews, who just had a horrific night, poor bastard. He had a fumble that was costly, had a couple of drops earlier in the game, and then had a two-point conversion, hit him in the breadbasket, and he dropped it. And the Bills win the game 27-25. We were robbed of potentially an all-time classic, Andy, because there was about, a minute and 30 to go?
Minute 33.
When Baltimore scored that touchdown. So if Andrews catches a two-point conversion, we get Allen with a minute 33 with a chance to win the game. And if not, you get overtime in that game. So we were robbed of an all-time classic ending, although the game did live up to the hype. I'm assuming we have the play-by-play cut of that call?
This is the Westwood 1, not okay. The Romo-Nance call.
Let's hear it sounds.
Two-point conversion, no good.
Two-pointer ties the game. Here's the snap. Jackson will run to his right. He looks, he throws. It is dropped! Andrews was open at the pylon and dropped it.
That's Ryan Radke of Westwood One Radio.
He was open. It
was
there.
Did you think he caught it? Because I couldn't see the drop until the
officials. Initially, I thought he didn't catch it. And you're like, wait, oh my God. That's how that game's going to end. You feel horrible for Lamar and for Baltimore, but now the narrative begins. Did you know Lamar Jackson can't win a big game?
I do.
I think they should trade him. Not a franchise quarterback. Move on. I'd rather have Tyler Huntley at this point.
The interception's just, I'm sitting in my living room like, I love you. Stop doing this to me.
I mean, the interception early in the game, to be fair to him, I saw somebody put out the all 22 footage of it. It wasn't a bad read at all on his part. The wide receiver broke off the route. So he had, I can't remember who he was throwing to on the play.
Who was that?
Because I know they didn't have their top. Zay Flowers didn't play.
Bateman had a good game. I don't know if it was Bateman on that one. I know Tylan Wallace had the late catch.
It was essentially he beat his guy off the line of scrimmage, and Lamar, based on that coverage, assumed that he was going to run a go route. And then at about 15 yards into the route, right as Lamar was starting to throw it, he broke off his route to the sideline. Lamar threw it as a go route, and the safety had an easy interception.
I would hate to throw guys under the bus. I think Lamar takes accountability for when they don't play bad. He had a clip where he basically was like, hold onto the ball, and people clipped it and tried to say it like he was talking about Andrews. He's talking about himself.
Yeah, the fumble that he had was costly.
I would like some clarification on interceptions because I'm not smart enough to know what was a broken route, what was just a bad read. Either way, pick. It's Lamar's.
Yeah.
The fumble. I mean, he makes these plays all year, and instead of falling down, he tries to stay up. The ball comes out of his hand. It's just tough. He was awesome in the second half when he needed to be.
He had some great moments.
They
in
largely
that game.
Were winning or came back in that game because of their defense and because of the running game. Henry had some big runs. I thought Justice Hill was the best runner of the day.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. He had the moment. He threw the touchdown pass. It wasn't a perfect throw, but man, Mark Andrews catching that pass, I would have banked on that 10 out of 10 times. It's right in his lap, right there. The ball's frozen and he drops it. And that's the unfortunate nature of this stuff and why I believe in the dome. Weather can play a factor. I'm not excusing Lamar. Again, the two turnovers were just brutal for him and the narrative was not surprising in the least. And everybody showing out what his playoff numbers are. Great football game. Just a great football game where Buffalo's defense did a whole hell of a lot. The run game won them that football game because Josh Allen only threw for like a buck 20.
Isn't that the irony of all of this?
I mean, it is, but you can't fumble the football.
No, you can't turn the ball over.
And you can't throw an interception. And I know Andrews also, by the way, the still image of Andrews catching it where he was going to try to get the defender to slip past. Go look at when he catches it, where the defender is, and then look in front of him. There's nobody within 30 yards.
Yeah.
But we've all played football. We've all done the play where we think the guy's momentum is going to swing and pass, and we'll get that go-ahead. The defender made a hell of a play and caused a fumble.
He did, and in that moment, it's 24-19, and Baltimore's driving. They just held Buffalo to a field goal. Buffalo's offense in the second half couldn't do anything early in the second half. I mean, they were stagnant. They couldn't run the football. Baltimore was winning the line of scrimmage. It felt like all the momentum was on their side. They opened the second half with a field goal and then a touchdown, and they got right back into the game after trailing 21-10 at the half. And in that moment, you're driving to potentially take a lead. Instead, you fumble. Buffalo takes it the other way. They kick a field goal, which is a decision that we can talk about because I disagree with it greatly, although it did end up impacting the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
When you look at it, because Baltimore couldn't get their two-point conversion. But that was such a huge swing momentum play. Some of the numbers behind Lamar Jackson now in the playoffs. He's been in the NFL for 7 years.
Three
and five in the playoffs. Going into his eighth year, do you know who also had a 3-5 record in the NFL playoffs as an NFL quarterback?
Is it one of the ones we talked about last week?
Yeah, we brought him up.
Elway?
It's Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning
in his first 7 years in the NFL was 3-5 in the postseason, the same record as Lamar Jackson. Neither of them had been to a Super Bowl. I believe both had been to one conference title game, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
In his eighth season in the NFL, you know what Peyton Manning did?
Won the Super Bowl.
No, he lost his first playoff game.
Oh.
You know what he did in his ninth year? He won the Super Bowl. He went 4-0 and he won the Super Bowl. And so it's one of those numbers that floated out there because this, like Nick Wright and all these folks, it just turns into this whole Lamar narrative of him not being able to win. The irony of it all, and this is what made me laugh in the outcome and watching the reaction because I knew it was going to happen. You pointed to it with the stat line.
Yeah.
Josh Allen gets the claim victory here, and he was not terrible. He wasn't bad in the game. I'm not arguing he played. He didn't turn the football over. He used his legs a couple of times, made some nice throws and moments, put together some drives when they needed to. He was fine in the game. Josh Allen was 16 of 22 for 127 yards, and he didn't have a touchdown pass.
5.8 yard average.
5.8 yard average per attempt. That was what he did.
He had a worse QBR and rating than Lamar.
Yes, he did. I thought Lamar outplayed him for about 85% of that game. Opening drive of the game, the touchdown drives in the second half, the way they were moving it. But he had a couple of boneheaded plays, and then his tight end fumbled and couldn't catch a two-point conversion, and therefore he gets killed and vilified that he can never win the big one or he will never be able to. We knew that we were going to lose nuance. I just found it funny that it happened in a game where it would have been one thing if Josh Allen went out and was like 27 of 33, 334 yards, three touchdowns, ran two of them in. You're like, God, look at that. He clearly was the better quarterback. Mm-hmm. But Josh Allen didn't do a ton. His team won because they ran the football, they forced turnovers, and they came up with a lucky break on a two-point conversion.
The fumble is a whatever turnover. It's a bad turnover, but like also that's like not something you really account for. The interception, his or not, doesn't matter. He threw the pick. The crazy thing is the numbers of this game do not bear out what the result was.
No, none of the games in divisional round weekend, dude. You know all four losing teams outgained their opponents.
Yeah, but
in the divisional round.
What was the takeaway? Turnovers. You turn the ball over more than your opponent in the playoffs tends to be more important than how many yards you gain. Baltimore outrushed them. They outthrew them, no doubt. Just a weird, just an odd game, really. I wasn't overly impressed with Buffalo's offense most of the game. But Allen is awesome in the goal line. We can talk about decision making. I mean, if they kick the first extra point instead of going for two, Baltimore, they're down 21-20, and then they're in a position where they score that touchdown late. They kick another one. They tie the game versus chasing the two. Yeah. But I think math would say you go for the two in both instances. So it's easy to question that. Just timing. Timing of drives. I mean, Buffalo did almost nothing in the second half of that football game. Baltimore, at least to me, felt like they had kind of seized control.
Mm-hmm.
But that last drive, whether it was the right or wrong choice, ended up being right of kicking that field goal that close. That was the drive. Baltimore needed to get them off that field. They didn't. And credit to Josh Allen and that offensive line. They got the right amount of push. They made the right plays when they needed to. They got in position to kick that field goal that made it an 8-point game, made them chase the 2-point conversion. It was absolutely brutal. I know the Philly game more so than Buffalo with the snow flurries. And yeah, I'm going to be buried in a box with the take of like, I think you aesthetically, we all love the look of it.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely impacts football games. Oh, I will
certainly
just hear
does, yeah.
nothing of it.
Certainly does.
And you know, that's part of this. Baltimore, don't lose a game in the regular season. Put yourself in a spot to host it so maybe you don't have to go to Buffalo. And now Buffalo, Kansas City get to play in probably extremely cold weather. It looks nice. But I'm sitting there on my TV like, damn it, Kyron Williams isn't fumbling if this game isn't, that the ball's not an ice block and slipping around and whatnot. But hell of a drive when they needed to, Buffalo, and just heartbreaking for Baltimore again. Another year where they come up short.
35 degrees and partly sunny in Kansas City on Sunday, low 22.
That's a Tuesday read. Let's see what it is by Friday.
See what
it might
goes
stay, but let's see what it is come Friday.
We'll get to that game here coming up in a moment. The funny thing about the Kyron Williams fumble, though, which we will talk about, is that was the costly play likely in the Rams losing the game, is that they lost the regular season game to Philly, and you know how the game swung momentum-wise in
Kyron
a dome. Kyron Williams fumbled in a temperature-controlled dome. So I understand weather definitely had an impact on the game. I'm okay with it at this point in the playoffs.
No, I know. I'm way wrong on this take. Everybody's against the take. I totally get it. But I am sitting there like, it's 5 degrees.
I mean,
I'm
honestly,
mad at this player for dropping a football, and I've dropped footballs on a nice beach day.
Yeah.
Imagine catching that rock in 10
it's
degrees.
It's a frozen football on a frozen field. It's not easy to do. Yeah. We got a poll question up. Two of them actually on the NFL. What Super Bowl matchup are you rooting for? Is it an easy answer for everybody as it is for me? Also, who had the worst weekend? Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Mark Andrews, or Lou Holtz were your four answers you could go
Lou
for.
Holtz.
Yeah, why the hell not? He's going to croak soon. That was his last chance to see a Notre
Dame title.
Lou Holtz
didn't kick a field goal down 16.
Let's get to the final game that we haven't talked about yet. Do people enjoy watching the Eagles play? Like, I know Saquon Barkley's great. There's just something about them. Some of the numbers behind it. Jalen Hurts injury, the impact of weather. We'll dive into that final matchup and then get to turning the corners at the bottom of the hour. Back after this on the Fan.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, has a corner gotten turned? We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. Oh. Hey, here we go. Can't wait to watch him sit on the bench the rest of the year. Let's get to the last game of divisional round that we haven't talked about yet.
Chauncey's proud of him, don't
yes,
you know?
Yes, of course he is.
He's finally developed.
And then he's going to be off the bench when, you know.
I can't wait for Chauncey to be on television next year taking credit for Scoot's ascension.
You know, I saw this. I saw this coming. I knew it was there in him. As a championship-winning point guard, I saw the pedigree.
I had a back-and-forth with a local media member, and they called him Emmanuel Mudiay. And then he turned this corner, and I'm like,
Emmanuel Mudiay, huh?
Emmanuel Mudiay.
Yeah, Emmanuel Mudiay is not bad now, is he, huh? Well, he was kind of Boutier. The Eagles beat the Rams 28-22. That was the starting game on Sunday. Entertaining beginning. I mean, Philly comes out opening drive. Jalen Hurts long touchdown run. You're like, damn, all right, that was a quick start. L.A. gets the overturn call on the incomplete pass. Mm. They then finish off their drive, opening touchdown. Philly comes back like, this was kind of fireworks early, and then we went into like a deep freeze lull for two quarters and nobody did anything, and then explosive plays again in the second half. Am I the only one that watches Philly? Like, I know how much talent they have, and Jalen Carter's amazing, and Saquon Barkley, what did he have? 26 carries, 205 yards, two touchdowns, like, just unbelievable. Maybe it's a Jalen Hurts thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm too stuck in my own opinion. I don't really enjoy watching them play football. Watching Jalen Hurts stand in the pocket and take sacks on big drives, I don't enjoy watching that level of football.
Well, I think, one, I want to play the NBC Univision call of Barkley's big run that kind of gave them the go-ahead
him
score at 28.
Pounding his helmet as he was going into the end zone in the snow. That was a pretty dope highlight.
Pretty sure he broke his hand or his wrist on that hit, and he just kept playing. Didn't matter.
Yeah.
I know we'll get to the conference championship games throughout the week. That Hurts knee injury, I think that's much bigger, and maybe I'll be proven wrong by Sunday. I think that's a massive storyline.
Dude couldn't move late in that game. They put him back in, took a bunch of sacks, took the safety. That was ugly.
It's what made the Barkley breakaway run kind of crazy to me, was you knew they weren't throwing and he wasn't running. It was Barkley or nothing. And to credit to the offensive line, man, their blocking was tremendous on that play, and Barkley's breakaway speed, even in what felt like a half a foot of snow, it's just incredible. I understand what you're saying. Defensively, though, they're unreal to watch.
They're awesome.
That defensive line, and I thought Collinsworth nailed it on the broadcast, of McVay not running sooner, hurry-up two-minute offense to kind of break out of that lull that they had offensively. I was also kind of wondering that. I know, again, it's easy from my couch being warm to say that.
Hey, do that. Yeah.
Right.
Yelling
but
at your TV.
I literally text you guys, Matt Stafford, do anything challenge. And again, I understand throwing in cold-ass weather with a frozen rock is not easy.
Yeah, they did have a lot of drops.
They just didn't do anything. Nacua had a drop. He was not throwing close to his guys. It just felt like that was going to end up being a blowout. Everybody, yeah. I think, thought that game was going to finish double-digit spread. And I don't know how I covered it or pushed a number at six, but I did. I was disappointed they didn't maybe get a little closer to the end zone than they did at the end.
Yeah, they had a drive there. That throw to Nacua along the sideline that set up that chance
you
was
felt like
unbelievable.
That was kind
like,
of the,
oh, yeah. Here.
I mean, that's one of those plays. Yeah. It's much like the Jermaine Kearse play against the Patriots where the ball's batted with feet and legs and he somehow comes down with it and you're like, it's their year. It's gonna their destiny, their, yeah. their repeat.
Here they come.
I thought on that Nacua catch they were gonna go into the end zone and end up winning that game by one because Jalen Hurts was a statue. And credit to Jalen Carter getting it on third and two, pushing Stafford back, and unfortunately Stafford couldn't come close. I want to play the Univision call.
Yeah,
though.
Let's hear this. This is the long Barkley, the 78-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, this is the one, the long run that made it 28 points. This is NBC Univision.
Y a Gael, buen día. Toda la familia nos escucha. Desde la Ciudad de México, aquí está, Saquon, se va a escapar, 50, 40, 30, toda la ruta, otra vez Saquon Barkley.
That is a great
ruta,
Escobar.
That is great, I love that.
He's so sick.
I mean, to your point, though, in that moment of the game, it's like Philly can't do anything else offensively.
No.
Jalen Hurts, I mean, he struggled to throw the ball all game. He took 7 sacks in the game. There were multiple times, like the safety that he took, if you go back and watch that play, they had a crossing route underneath right off the snap that was wide open.
Yeah,
L.A. blitzed everybody, and he just held it, backed up, and you're like, dude, there's a wide open receiver right there. They had multiple drives. I think both of them came in the first half where they had the ball on the Rams' 30-yard line on 3rd and 8, and they called it on 2nd and 8, excuse me, they called a pass play. He threw an incompletion. 3rd and 8, they called a pass play again. He took a big sack, kicked him out of field goal range. Later in the game, they got to the Rams 32. They threw an incomplete pass on 1st down. 2nd and 8, he took a big sack, took him out of field goal range. They continued to throw the ball, and he continued to take sacks while Saquon Barkley was just racking up rushing yard after rushing yard. And it, to me, it's the biggest lingering thing from that game. Like, it's wild to think about the Commies getting to a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. Just remarkable if that ends up happening. If you take away Jalen Hurts, who is a great athlete, he showed you that on the opening drive. What do you have, a 45-yard touchdown run or whatever it was? Great at extending plays, great at using his legs. If you take that away from him, and he's limited athletically, and you're making him just be a pocket passer.
Well, that handoff exchange situation is not very...
That offense is going to disappear. Like, yeah. You don't have to worry about any other threat on the outside. They didn't get any of their wide receivers going in that game. It was all basically Saquon Barkley again. I don't know. We'll have a long time this week to break that whole thing down. The other side of this game is the Rams. It sounded like we're very emotional in the locker room afterwards.
Well, because it's the end of an era for them.
They don't know what the future is, and yeah. Stafford might be done. And
Cup is gone.
Yeah. There's a lot of question marks over them, so it was a weird kind of storyline game of can Philly sustain this with Jalen Hurts playing this bad and the Rams maybe who got a Super Bowl in this run with Stafford, who I love that we had to entertain the notion, did Detroit win the trade? Like, no, LA won a damn championship and that's the point of the sport.
Right.
Mike being
the other guy threw 3 picks and had a fumble.
in his first playoff game, but that run for LA might be over.
It might be over to an extent, but you get Stafford to come back. I mean, it's not over though, because what really carried them at the end of the year? Nacua was great. Kyren Williams was really good. What carried them was verse.
Yeah,
and
their
by
defense
the way,
playing really good.
A player that they lost and people won't talk about
Fisk.
Him as much.
Yeah.
No. Fisk is the guy who got her. Verse was the one that was awesome.
Verse was awesome.
Verse was un-effing believable. For all of the Jalen Carter stuff, playing 68 of 70 snaps, being double-teamed on more than half of the pass rushes, that dude came in and said, I hate green and white.
Yeah.
Anytime I see it, it makes me sick.
He was a good villain.
To watch him not only be the villain going in, but then back it up and just do the thumbs down all day was fantastic. He lived up to all the trash talk he gave them. I don't think it's necessarily over. If they can convince Stafford to give this one more run.
He's got an out. So he's got 2 years left on his deal, but he's got an out after this right now.
Look, he's been
and so he can opt out and go into free agency. He can retire. You know, he's got a choice.
Cooper Kupp completely fell off the cliff after that injury. He's not the same player. It doesn't sound like he's coming back. That's okay. I thought
I forget the guy's name. That I'm blanking on the receiver that came up with a couple big plays and touchdown catches.
Robinson.
Thank you. Yeah. DeMarcus Robinson, I thought, had a good one. Higbee's still there. Coughing up blood, still amazing. And you've got Nacua. You'll figure out how to replace Kupp. I think there's a lot of good pieces on this Rams team, to the point where how would you not favor them? If this is going to be what the defense is, I don't think this has to be the end for the Rams. They just came up short, couldn't make enough plays. That lull from the second to the third quarter of scoring 8 points.
And they had them on the ropes, man.
It was tough.
After that safety, they had them on the ropes. All the momentum was on their side. Hurts couldn't move, and you're like, oh my God, they're going to find a way to do this. After the safety, it was 16-15.
Yeah.
The Rams, the second play after the safety, they fumbled, handed Philly an easy field goal. Okay, now you're down 19-15. You get the ball back. And then it was Stafford with a strip sack fumble. Boom. And then all the, I mean, they turned the ball over twice in the costliest moments of the game when they had an opportunity to go score a touchdown. And if you do, the pucker factor in that stadium and Jalen Hurts maybe having to throw them back into that game, all the momentum would have been on your side. But they had two fumbles on their two biggest drives of the year.
Well, if the Rams score that touchdown late, that game is over. They didn't have enough time, I thought, in Hurts' condition to be able to do that in that weather.
You got to make the PAT.
Look, it's been said before, say it again. Like, the MVP is probably going to be Josh Allen or Lamar. And I don't care what the results in the playoffs are. This is a regular season award, by the way.
Yeah.
Boy, did he make a great case of he is the most valuable Saquon Barkley.
He's carrying that team, man. Offensively, at least.
He has rushed for 150 yards, 150 and 146 this year against the Commanders. I'm probably taking the Commanders with the points. I'll just get out now on the spring line pick. I'm going to take them with those points because Philly's weird.
I think it's five, somewhere in that range.
The weather's kind of lining up here. It's 17 degrees right now in snow in Philadelphia. It says today that it's supposed to be sunny and 39 by kick.
Well, that's a nice, delightful day.
That's not a bad weather situation for Jaden Daniels and the Commanders to operate in. So we'll see what the Hurts injury is. They won this game with their defense and Saquon Barkley. Jalen Hurts wasn't asked to do a whole lot.
We'll see how healthy he is as the week goes on as well. That knee injury was pretty gnarly, and he couldn't move towards the end of that game. So a great divisional round in the NFL playoffs after a dud of wildcard weekend where we only had one entertaining and close game. Commies survived that late, the late one against the Bucs.
That's why it's my favorite weekend of the playoffs.
4-for-4, man. I got no complaints. You know, little tweaks here or there. Sure, weather affected some games. You know, you get a little bit of that. But every game was compelling and interesting and kind of came down to the wire, and so I loved it. It was awesome. Some football. Let's get to somebody turning a corner, potentially, and then we'll answer the poll questions to wrap up the show. Back after this on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Lost in the shuffle this weekend for some, but not for all.
Ducks, Beavs lose in basketball.
Yeah, that wasn't great. That Purdue game was terrible.
It was pretty awful. I kept thinking, make a shot. Somebody was like, I always watch college. It's the better one to watch between them and the NBA. And I'm like, watching that game, like, God, how are you enjoying this?
I thought to myself going into that I will probably watch the end of this and then start the Chiefs-Texans game on my iPad. And I could not wait for Chiefs-Texans to begin because I was watching, I was 49-47. Like, nobody could score. It's terrible basketball.
It was a rock fight.
I knew they were in trouble when Purdue was not making shots and Oregon was barely winning. I'm like,
This is a bit of a problem.
Doesn't go well.
Last four games. Let me ask you if these averages are any good. 25.3 points per game, 7.8 assists per game, 1.5 steals per game, 56.9% from the floor, 53.3% from three. We are looking around a corner. Has Scoot Henderson turned it?
I mean, I do one better for you. I'd go 10.
Oh, that's
you 10. Did a smaller sample size.
I did a small sample size.
29 minutes per game, so still not what I like, but almost 30.
Let's not play him 30 minutes a night.
50% from the field, 44% from threes, 80% from the line. He's got a 66% true shooting percentage and 77% in the paint with almost six assists and four rebounds. Not even 21 yet. By the way, I got those numbers via Casey Holdall, but you can also get those at NBA.com stats department. You know, look, I don't know what turning the corner is defined by you as. Are you saying, like, franchise guy, who this is who he's going to be from here on out? I think he's going to go through lulls again. But how do you not see this and go, oh, damn, he's getting minutes and he's playing and look at him? I thought Sam Vecini, who lives in New Zealand, he covers the NBA draft. We've had him on before. He did a video on Scoot. And I agree 100%. It's not just the numbers in the production. He just looks like he knows where he wants to go, and he's confident when he has the basketball. And those are dumb things that don't give you metrics, but it matters. And the numbers are bearing out a player who seems like he's got some confidence right now.
What are we going to do with Anfernee Simons when he's back from his made-up injury?
Scoot goes back to the bench.
Cool.
We also bench Shaden Sharp.
Yeah.
He doesn't play enough defense.
Top. So yeah. Shaden Sharp gets.
But they won and he scored 20. So
Shaden Sharp gets benched for not playing defense, but Anfernee Simons is never punished for not playing defense. Does that make any sense to anybody?
The whole thing is weird.
Okay.
This is just nice. I'm getting really good for him.
This is exactly what we're asking for as fans. This is what we want to see.
I know.
Is there any argument to be made for the starting lineup after the trade deadline to not be Scoot Henderson, Shaden Sharp, Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdia, and Donovan Clingan?
Not a single.
Is there a single argument against that?
No.
Are they going to do that?
The numbers bear out, and unfortunately, I love the dude. Good vibes. Jeremy Grant's having an awful year.
Yes, he is.
He is actually, when he's in the lineups, it's not productive.
Guys, we're two first-round picks, though.
DeAndre Ayton has been a train wreck of a person to get in. Tumani's been the best piece of that trade.
Without a doubt.
I don't know how they're going to trade him. Anthony Simons
has been awesome.
Anthony Simons may very well go on to his career and play for somebody else and be a good third, fourth piece. He's not a two. He's not a one.
Nope.
They should have traded him in the summer when he was hinting after the season that he wants to win. Clearly that wasn't happening. And they shouldn't have brought the coach back. I like what I'm seeing from Scoot. They won, and Shea scored 20. I hated the decision to put him on the bench for defense. puzzling moves all around the organization, but very happy that Double Zero's having a good run here. I would love to see that lineup, but that would require continued fake injuries for players, which they're doing nightly, and trades. Yeah. And unfortunately, the market's not great trade situation for a lot of teams.
When's the deadline? How close are we to the deadline?
It's the 15th.
It's right before the All-Star break?
Right before the All-Star break? At that point, yes.
Okay. So right around the corner. We got a couple of more weeks left to figure out what you're going to do.
I mean, theoretically, your lineup going forward, if your organization is serious,
that should be it. It's the young guys, and we're laying the foundation for next year. Especially to your point on what is turning a corner. I mean, I don't know. A 4-game or a 10-game stretch is not making me think that Scoot Henderson's going to be a multi MVP in the NBA.
Oh, I don't think people are going that far.
But I just think it's about I think they've mishandled the entire development plan for him. I've never understood the idea of bringing, like, he's a top 3 pick in the NBA draft. You got to play him and figure it out. The Blazers are bad this year. They're going to end up with another top 7-ish pick in the NBA draft.
That's where they're at right now.
What if the best player available is a point guard in the draft? At the point that you're picking, what are you going to do? And if you don't give him the opportunity...
Told me they would take Dylan Harper if they were on the clock and he was up.
So then we're just... And then you just punt again, and then we don't... this is where I think you have an opportunity in the second half of the year to say, dude, here's the reins. Go drive the... Let's see what you can do. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have bad nights. You're going to have bad moments. You're going to have turnovers. You're going to have... Of course he is. He's 20 years old playing in the NBA.
We're all
level-headed enough to understand there's going to be ups and downs to this. But this idea of hindering his development and having other guys in his way and not just saying, let's see what you can do, kid. I think it's a gross miscalculation by the organization. Mm-hmm. And credit to him for battling through it and having a coach that's not really there for the long haul and coming up with great performances the last 10 games or so and on this 4-game stretch. They play tonight in Miami, and I hope it continues. I'm rooting like hell for Scoot, man. I want that kid to be successful. The aura that he brings, I love everything about him. And it'd be great if he turned into a distributing point guard for this offense for years to come. But we'll see how it works.
16
out.
To 17 a game. I mean, you take
that
all day.
You give that with 8 or 9 assists a game.
He's also
playing feisty defense.
Yeah.
He's a good free throw shooter. He's forcing turnovers. The steal numbers have been great. Like, there's something there. Now you just got to play it and let it see how it runs the rest of the year. And if Anfernee Simons comes back and isn't traded, that's going to be a hindrance again to Scoot Henderson's growth.
Rooting like hell for him. I have no idea how any of this is going to go. The rest of his season, the draft, the who you take, you don't take. Who they're going to hire as coach. I mean, there's just so many. For every good thing you get, and a Scoot Shaden like outburst is good, right? Denny's been good. Tumani's been encouraging. I have just as many questions the other side of, like, what's happening there?
Yeah.
What are you doing there? What about that?
Positive stories that they should be leaning on, but unfortunately not quite the case. Deadline's right around the corner. Good for Scoot for having a nice little stretch. Has he turned a corner? We'll find out. They're back in action today.
Up, by the way.
Okay, the poll question is up. Has he turned a corner? We'll answer the other ones, including what Super Bowl matchup are you rooting for? And is the answer as simple as it is for me? Who had the worst weekend? We'll wrap everything up on a Tuesday next on The Fan. All right, we'll go back in. The irony of that dream starting lineup for the Blazers.
Yeah.
Is that all five of those guys, if that was it, if your starting lineup back half of the year is Scoot, Shaden, Tumani, Denny Avdia, and Clingan, all five of those guys are awesome success stories for this current regime. Of like, not quite yet for Scoot. I get that he's had a rough start to his career, but like, look at the future. Look
if
what we're developing.
Like this,
if he keeps playing like this, Tumani's an unbelievable on-the-ball defender. Like, he's been the best pickup that Cronin has had, unquestionably. Denny's come on great over the last month. Mm-hmm. Klingon has showed the ability to be a good defensive center already in the NBA. The offensive stuff will come. And yeah, there's got to be a minutes restriction there.
And Shaden
can hit and miss a little bit, but he can cook and get going offensively. Like, That is a vision of the future of, like, look what we've built with their 3 years of losses. And this is the direction we're going. Look at all this positivity.
But Ayton, Grant,
and instead
Simons.
They can't get out of their own way because we want 2 first-round picks for Jeremy Grant. Nobody's going to give you for 2 first-round picks for Jeremy Grant. I don't know if you could trade Anthony Simons for a vending machine at this point.
No.
And you probably have to pay somebody to take DeAndre Ayton off your hands. Give him one of the future Bucks picks and you take the contract. It just seems like an easy marketing opportunity. Look at us turning the page. The start of the youth movement. But I digress. Let's get to the poll question, shall we?
No notes.
Biggest story of the weekend. Daniel shredding the Lions.
Mm.
Josh Allen beating Lamar Jackson.
Great game.
Ohio State winning a national championship game after we all fired Ryan Day 3 weeks ago or a month ago.
Not really surprising.
Or Kansas City getting to their seventh consecutive AFC championship game.
There's probably, to every degree, a right answer there with all of them. Daniels is the biggest shocker. I have to go with the enemy here for you. Seven straight AFC championships.
That's where you voted. Huh? That's the lowest total, 6%.
No,
probably
hatred
of the Chiefs.
Well, hatred of the Chiefs. Also, nobody expected them to lose to the Texans.
Very true. I'm sorry.
This dynasty is not ending against the Houston Texans at home. The Pats dynasty ended with the Titans at home, but that was at the end when Brady was old and Belichick was in his 70s.
Yeah.
This ain't that time. So I know it wasn't shocking. It didn't surprise people that they won that game, and people hate them. Seven straight is historical. It's the
massive.
Second most consecutively in NFL history. They're one away from tying the Patriots at 8. We can be normalized to the Chiefs winning these games all we want. That's not normal in any way.
Nope.
Detroit Line 2 would like to tell you that. So I'm actually going Chiefs.
Yeah, I voted Allen over Lamar. Daniel shredding the Lions won in a landslide, 71%. Who had the worst weekend? 56% of you said Mark Andrews. Ran away with it. Jared Goff in second at 25%.
Was Lamar also on that?
Lamar was there. He's in last place behind Lou Holtz. So a little level-headed nuance from
Lou
listeners.
Holtz ahead of Lamar.
And what Super Bowl matchup are we rooting for? Bills, Commies running away with it? That easy?
Yeah, I mean, we get Eagles, Chiefs. I won't be shocked, but
Exciting. You're rooting for. Not what you think will happen, what the matchup you want as a football fan.
Are the Commanders going to win the Super Bowl?
Bills, Commies, dude. Give it to me. I need it in my life.
Finally break a table?
Need it in my life, man. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. So much to break down. We tried to get to all of it. We'll be back tomorrow. Josh Pate will join us for one last visit to wrap up the college football season as only he can. If you missed the show, go check the podcast. 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. Listening to 1080 The Fan.